everyone, welcome to the Unfiltered Podcast. My name is Lee Stevenson, and I have the privilege to be the lead pastor of a church plant in Orlando, Florida, Harvest Community Church, and also serve the Greater Converge Movement as the Executive Director of Church Planting. And my co-host here, I'll let him introduce himself.
I'm Danny Parmalee, and I oversee church planting for Converge Mid-America.
And Danny, we are now at the point where we are about 6 to 8 weeks in with the time of this recording of kind of the coronavirus COVID-19 culture shift. I don't know how else to kind of describe it, but life has definitely been different than any of us expected 2020 to be at this point. And so we're going to do a series of podcasts here, just kind of talking about what have we learned, what are we seeing, what are we sensing for the future of the church. And specifically today, we want to take some time in this podcast just to talk about lessons learned when it comes to virtual church and what we're seeing, you know, in the church world today.
Yeah, Lee, I'd love for you to even kind of start out with you sharing some of the things, because you're boots on the ground, and maybe even just to share a little bit of your experience, just even the emotional, like, okay, you know, the excitement, the fear, and then kind of where you're at now this number of weeks in, and then go to some of those practical things that you learned along the way.
Yeah, that's great. We're to kind of put it in context right now, we're about 18 months old as a church plant. So this hit us uniquely. The good thing is, I think we were already having conversations about what does online church look like, and how do we maximize that beyond just, hey, let's just record our services and post it on YouTube or post on Facebook. And so I feel like that put us a little bit ahead of the curve that we were already working on instrumental pieces. But I think it just forced our hand, as it did every church in America, to all of a sudden figure this out a little bit. And I think some of the things we've learned very quickly is your quality of equipment does matter when it comes to the recording and the sound quality and how that gets viewed. I think when things are on a screen, we have a tendency to be almost minuscule when it comes to the critiques of what we see and what we do to improve that. And so I think we do have to pay attention as a pastor or as staff people in a church to the overall quality that we're putting out there. And it's not a performance base. It's literally, how do we keep people engaged with the service experience so that people are maximizing that experience in the home setting? And that's hard.
Mm-hmm. Can you even just, if you can just even briefly share, when you say equipment, even give some really specific, because I know for some church planners, it's like, man, everything costs money and the money's not necessarily flowing in right now. What are we talking about, ballpark here, and, you know, difference between a whatever $50 mic and whatever the next level up is?
Sure. Let me talk from the standpoint of kind of what our current setup is and why we've done what we've done. First of all, we do a two-camera lockdown. So we do one camera is a tight lockdown shot, and it's, you know, mainly my waist up, mm-hmm. and it just gives us a real focused view. The second
a focused view of your abs. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. Well, I try not to show my abs while I'm preaching. So, but yeah. Then we do a wide angle view, which I preach next to a TV screen. So we've got about a 60-inch TV screen on a stand next to me. And I stand real close to it, and I stand. I don't put a tabletop or anything like that in front of me. So I want to keep as direct connection as possible with the audience that are viewing from the camera. And so anytime I read a passage or make a point, I'll point to the screen, and that automatically we go to wide angle there. We're using Sling Studio as kind of the brains behind managing the camera and recording. And I got to say, like, for the money you spend, it's probably the best system out there. I think to get the full package Sling Studio, you're looking at maybe $1,500. Mm-hmm. But the way it operates, you can set up your cameras, literally run it from an iPad, and you can just literally toggle between this camera and this camera by hitting a box on your iPad, and super, super smooth. And then we run the sound through that as well, but through our soundboard. So we're mixing the sound as we're getting the camera shots, which really knocks down the amount of editing time that is required to get a quality put out there. So I preach with a headset mic, and we use a Shure brand just like any church would use, but just run it straight through our soundboard into the Sling Studio. And so you're looking at anywhere between $500 to $1,000 for a really quality mic to be able to mic and get good quality sound with that. And then the TV cost and the camera cost. The other piece I would say is very important to pay attention to that I think I've noticed as I've watched other churches post their recordings of their services and stuff is lighting. Lighting really, really matters. Mm-hmm. And we've got a floor lamp. We do backlighting, and then we have two LED lights on stands that really try to knock down all the shadows. And but one of the things that we learned probably 2 weeks into this, when you're doing the tight shot, is you really have to dial in the coloring or the lighting gauges on your cameras to give an accurate look, you know, so your skin's not too yellow or too mm-hmm. orange or too dark when it comes to how that gets carried over to the screen. And so you really do, once you get it dialed in though, you should be set. The other thing we do is I preach from a teleprompter when I'm looking at the close angle camera. And we took that cue from just from newscast. So there's a reason why when you watch the news that they're talking to a teleprompter is because they're able to maintain constant eye contact with the camera. Mm-hmm. And that keeps people engaged differently than if you're looking down to your notes or you're looking off to your side on a regular basis. And so, but the key with the teleprompter is you need just the right amount of distance so your eyes aren't tracked in the camera, like you're reading and stuff of that sort. But then when you go wide angle, you're now speaking to a different camera. So you've got to be okay flexing, going from teleprompter to non-teleprompter and back and figuring out the rhythm of doing that. And that's been helpful for us.
All right, great. I want to actually go back. Sling Studio, you said is $1,500 for the full package. Now, are you talking, because I've heard a number of guys using Sling Studio, loving it, that you're talking about just the software, because it is just a digital switcher, right? Or are you talking about actual hardware equipment that they also
There is a little bit of hardware equipment that comes with that. It is mainly okay. software driven, but there is like a little hardware interface okay. that it actually plugs into, that you could plug your soundboard into and stuff of that sort, like in the back of the room.
And I've heard, I mean, I am talking small church plants, being able to use this without huge tech people and tech team, and that you can literally use your iPhones and iPads. So even if you didn't have hugely expensive HD cameras, by using the hardware that they send and then the software basically doing the switcher, that, like you said, all of the editing is done right there basically on the iPad live,
so to speak,
and then obviously can convert to an actual recording thing that, for the money, I mean, you can look pretty professional.
You really can. You really, really can. And that's why I would recommend, like, I think that's a worthwhile investment for mm-hmm. any small, medium sized church. I know even large churches that's their predominant thing that they utilize, because it is so easy and it works. It's Wi-Fi. You can literally, and we've done this. So like for the worship set, because you want a little bit of a different feel on the worship, we'll set up iPhones, just like you said, that interface through Wi-Fi with the Sling Studio. So you can set up as many cameras as you want. You can set up four or five still camera shots and just literally toggle between them and use the phone that you use as a daily, as your daily cell phone as well. So it's pretty remarkable. The other thing that we're learning is how, and I think this is a struggle every church has, is how do you create a worship experience that is engaging, where people don't want to just sit on the couch and watch mm-hmm. some people play music, but they actually want to sing and they participate, which again, it's awkward even for us, when we're in our home trying to sing and have the whole family together. But we've learned in watching churches also that have figured this out. The closer that you can get the camera connection with the person's face and eyes, the more engaging it is. And so in other words, personalize the worship experience. If it's just a distant shot the entire time, it's going to be a lot less engaging. But for some reason, it's like when you see somebody's eyes in the midst of worship, it has a way of drawing you into worship as well.
That's great. I want to actually go back and then come back to this worship question. You mentioned teleprompter. What are we looking at cost-wise, and what do you mean by teleprompter?
Yeah, so the teleprompter we've got set up, the camera sits behind the screen, and you can, we set up on a tripod just like you would any camera setup. And you just plug in a laptop, and it mirrors it onto a see-through screen. So you don't actually see the camera lens, but you're speaking right at the camera lens as you read it. Now we have to have you can preset the speed, but the reality is I've learned that you have a cadence. And so you can't just set the speed and just go. So it's good to have somebody that kind of follows along with you is running the laptop live while you're kind of going through the teleprompter. There are a lot of good teleprompters out there. I'd say anywhere, from about the cheapest you're probably going to want to go is probably $650, $700 up to about $1,100. You can get a really quality teleprompter that makes your job a whole lot easier.
That's great. All right, going back to the worship experience, how many songs are you doing? I'm guessing that you're either shortening them, each song, doing less amount of songs. How are you personally, and what are you kind of seeing as far as like, man, this is what needs to be different. We can't just translate and plop. This is what we did live. So let's just, now the only difference is it's video.
Yeah. We really try hard to keep our services around the 45 minute mark, total time length. Mm-hmm. Max we'll do is maybe 50 minutes, which typically we find about two songs typically is the right flavor. So we'll do a welcome and intro with a host type of role right at the beginning. We'll have a countdown because, again, people tend to tune in at different times, just as they do walk into a service at different times. So we do a 5-minute countdown, and we actually start that 3 minutes before the typical service time. And so it actually gives us a 2-minute buffer. Mm-hmm. So like say at 9:30 service time, we start the 5-minute bumper at 9:27. Service officially starts then at 9:32 with a quick host role, welcome everybody to, our church online mm-hmm. experience, and then kind of have a prayer moment and then go into the worship. And then we will have two songs of worship, and then we'll create a bumper that goes from the worship into the sermon. And then we have the sermon, and then we'll exit out of the sermon, usually just straight into a host role. Now, if it happens to be, we've done communion once. Since then, we add a little bit extra music into the communion and just cut the message down. But we find participation falls off pretty quickly if you get over the 25-minute speaking standpoint. And so we intentionally aim for around 25 to 28 minutes on the sermon length, knowing if we go longer than that, people are going to disengage with the service.
Depends on how good of a preacher you are. I mean, If I was doing it, I mean, I'd go 45 minutes to an hour.
Oh, I'm sure. And people are going to be begging for more.
Yep. So. No, that's great. This is a technical question you may not have the answer to, but when you say that you started the timer before, so if you have a 9:30 service and you're starting it at 9:27, how does that affect, like, if you're doing Facebook Premiere and you start it early, then doesn't it show up? weird as far like you can't say I'm starting at nine. Like once you put the time in, you have to put in either 9:27 or 9:30, right?
Yeah, we actually will log it in as 9:27.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And just pay attention to that. And we've noticed, so when the service then actually gets going, we've already got a whole group of audience members already dialed in versus waiting, you know, like, oh, they're live. And then it takes them 2 minutes to actually get in. And then they miss the first 2 minutes of the service.
Yeah, I think that's great. I have been having discussion with a few church planners kind of navigating that. And with the timer thing of just not going too long with that timer, because I'm sure we'll talk about this in some of the future episodes that we have, but there's still a huge consumeristic culture. And if it's like, you've got 2 minutes, your mind is all of a sudden clicking on other things, clicking on other services, clicking on shopping, and then you're late. I mean, it's funny that people can be late for service
when they're sitting on their couch.
Yes, when there's nothing to do. So anyway. Yeah,
people are people, and Amazon and email have a way of getting in the way. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Well, man, that sounds great. Well, it sounds like you guys have been learning quite a few things. Any other things for this episode?
Yeah, my biggest thing was I would just tell pastors, watch other churches out there that are doing it, and just constantly pick up ways to improve. Evaluate every week right now. How did we do engaging people online? And we've just noticed the more we dialed in, we are literally adding hundreds of viewers every week, the better we get. And so we've seen our reach expand enormously just in the last 2 months, by maximizing the virtual experience. And so we're actually looking at this as a long-term game plan for how do we expand the church quickly into communities that we want to reach that really honestly don't have a relevant gospel-centered church in. And so I think we're looking at this as a long-term gift to the church versus being a detriment to the church. And so I would encourage all the pastors out there to think that and just learn from other guys that are doing it and see what they're doing and try to implement it your best as well. Well, friends, this has been a fun conversation, just talking about lessons learned during the COVID pandemic. And we appreciate you tuning in to the Unfiltered Podcast, where we're just having real conversations about church planting and church issues. Again, my name's Lee, and my co-host here, Danny. We're glad to have you. And until next time, keep it real.